I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm thrilled to have my next guest here. We have Rita Hazan, who is the founder and CEO of actually two different businesses. Not that having one is busy enough, but Rita Hazan Salons, which of course you've heard of, but Rita Hazan Products as well, which are absolutely the bomb. I mean, they are so great. And we are so privileged to have her here. We actually met through her husband, who has helped us out. He is in real estate in New York City and helped us out with some things. And I was like, wait a minute, you are married to the Rita Hazan. And we got connected. So I'm so thrilled to have her share a little bit more about her story. And she definitely is known for color and hair. And she's a disruptor and an innovator and an artist. And she is one of the most sought after hair colorists in the world. You might have seen that she has worked on the color creation for celebrities, including Beyonce and J-Lo and Madonna and so many others. So I started looking her up and definitely was just blown away at how busy you've been.
Yeah.
And also just because, you know, you're not 90. I mean, you've had a lot going on over.
Yeah, you know, started very young.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So can't wait to hear your journey and your growth and hear more about the products that you launched too. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So let's start at the beginning. So did you always know that you would be in the business that you're in today?
Yes. This is a very simple answer. I remember being in high school and they had like college day and I was like, I'm not going to college. I know what I want to do. I can do hair. I mean, my hair was so difficult. It's so curly. And I figured if I can do my own hair, then there's a job for me somewhere here. And I used to color my grandmother's hair in our house. She used to use at-home box dye. Mm. And I really loved doing it. And then I started to experiment with different box dyes. And then, you know, we just played around. My grandma let me do whatever I wanted and she was happy to do it. And then all of her friends used to come over and we used to do like a beauty day and they'd bring their box color and I would put it on and it was so fun. So I said, you know what, I'm going to beauty school. And my mom was a little resistant in the beginning. At the time, like women didn't really do hair. It was really like mostly male dominated industry, especially gay men were doing hair a lot, not right. Really women. So she was a little resistant, but she saw that I was really, really, really interested in doing it. So she said, okay, let's go. So she took me to school and I signed up because at the time I needed a guardian to sign for me. I was too young. It was like 17. I wasn't even 18 yet.
Oh my God.
And then when I finished beauty school, I knew exactly where I wanted to work. I wanted to work for Orbe because he was where it was at the time. And I worked for him for about 10 years, my entire career. And then that's where I met a lot of the celebrities I worked with. He gave me a huge opportunity. They really liked the work I was doing is a little bit different than everybody was doing. You know, it was natural, but also dramatic at the same time. It was like really good stage hair color and also beautiful in person, which was very hard to create. After 10 years, I worked for him. I said to him, you know, I think I'm like naturally need to do something different. I appreciate everything you've done for me. I'm going to open my own salon. And he was really happy for me, which really never happens in this business. Usually when you break off and go somewhere else, they're upset. But, you know, we had a really good relationship and I spoke to him before I did anything. And he was really amazing and helpful.
Before we go further into that, I want to even back up a little bit. So first of all, your grandmother, right? So she sort of was kind of the start of this in many ways, like inspired you and invited people over and helped you. Maybe you didn't know it at the time, but was really helping you to find your passion and what you were most interested in doing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So cool. And then I also read that you grew up in a family that owned businesses. So were they in the salon business?
No, nobody's in the beauty industry. No. That's why it was so weird for them. Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, hair, I'm going to do hair. And, you know, when I told them that my passion is color, my brother's like, you think you could open a salon and do hair color and make good money? I was like, Jack, everybody colors their hair. And then he started looking. He's like, her hair colored? I'm like, yes. So it was like really eye-opening for them because they were more in electronic business. And I don't think they understood. It was completely opposite of what they were doing, you know? So they didn't really understand it until I started doing it and getting very successful at it, that they were like, oh, whoa, okay, this is real.
What do you think you learned from them? I mean, obviously it was physical goods, right? And what do you think you learned like from just watching that?
A lot of creative people don't have a good business mind or don't have experience in business. So I think when a lot of creative people want to start a business, they don't know where to start. So when I was in beauty school and I was assisting, I was also moonlighting and working in the electronic stores. So I was working the register, I was cashing out, I was doing inventory. And when I worked for Orbe too, they gave me a lot of responsibilities too. They didn't have a manager a lot of the time. So I was hiring and firing. I was ordering the color and the towels and I was doing inventory. So all of those things you need to know to help you run a business, like payroll, you know, how do you do payroll? That's a scary thing for people.
Right.
You know, so those small things behind the office door, people don't really know how to run that. They get very nervous about that. How am I going to pay people? How do I pay taxes? How do I hire? How do I fire? Where do I begin? So coming from a family that had businesses, I always saw the back end of it. So it was a lot easier. And then, you know, my mom was a bookkeeper and she helped me with payroll and how to manage a book because you have to know how to work your money. So I said, when I'm successful, I'm going to have my mother come and work my books. And that's what she does for me. Even today, she's in charge of the money, which is the best person you want to be in charge of your money is your mom.
That's awesome. I love that story. Well, and I also feel like no matter what industry you're in, understanding customers, right? And understanding like, how do you get them to come back, right? And how do you get them to, you know, I always sort of struggle with the customer's always right kind of statement, because sometimes, you know, you might get to a point where you're not able to really satisfy them, but you try.
There are some people that you're never going to satisfy.
Right.
And the best thing I have learned in my career is that sometimes it's better not to have that person come back and service them if they're never happy than to have an unhappy customer.
Totally.
So you make space for another person who's happy and who appreciates your work instead of somebody who's not happy and always like pitching a fit on the floor, you know? So it's better for me, I like to have harmony and a peaceful environment, no matter what it takes. You have to walk into the salon and feel like, oh, this is fun. This is good energy. We play good music. It smells nice. Everybody's friendly from when you walk into the door to, you know, getting your service done, getting your hair shampooed. Everybody has to be friendly and happy to be there. If they're not, then they don't belong here.
Well, and I think being a manager, being the CEO of your salon too, but I think that those are really important lessons that I think working with the public as early as you can. I worked in a toy store when I was 14 years old. And I always tell people, initially, I just was excited because I would get to work the cash register. So you and I would have had a great thing going. You doing the hair, I was doing the cash register. But I learned so much more about buying and margins and all of those kind of things. So
my uncle made me memorize tax on every dollar up to 500 so that I don't make any mistakes.
I love it.
And no cheat sheets.
I love it. Oh, wow. That's an amazing tidbit. So I wonder if Ruben knows that about you.
Probably not. I even forgot about that, but I remember that.
So funny. So Orbi, you got your first job out of beauty school. How'd you get connected with him?
A friend of mine was working there and he said they need another assistant. So color assistant, I told him the colorist about you and he wants to meet you. So I went in and I put my mom's like fancy coat on and I got all dressed up with heels and I knew nothing about, you know, working as a color assistant, but I was very eager and I said, I'll do anything that you want. So I think I had a nice conversation with the colorist that was in charge of the whole department. His name is Brad Johns. We're still actually friendly today. And he said, okay, come in on Wednesday, wear all black and, you know, be ready to work hard. And I was. I never called out sick a day in my life. I never took a day off. I did whatever he wanted. If he wanted me to run errands for him, I ran errands. If he ran out of color, I went to the store and bought color with my own money, which I didn't have at the time. But I did whatever it took and I did it with love. I wasn't ever thinking like, oh, this is part of my job or, oh, I have to do this. Whatever they wanted me to do, I did. And I enjoyed it. I cleaned the whole color room. I organized his cards. I made sure everything was like perfect all the time. It was like, I did it out of pleasure and joy. And I think that all those things that I was doing, and a lot of people don't like to do those, like the minutia of it all. And I think that helped me learn how to run my own business, doing those things without knowing it.
Yeah. Well, and obviously you were going to learn a lot too along the way. And you loved, you know, working for him, but definitely it's interesting. My first job, when I moved to New York City, I worked at Time Magazine and I was an executive assistant. And I tell people the story a lot, people that have worked for me over the years, that I had extra time on my hands. And so friends of my boss would come by and sometimes they'd be in a hurry. They'd be really rushed. I said, just, you know, you need a copy made, you need whatever. And I would do it not because I felt like I was going to be rewarded in any way for it, but just because I was kind of bored. And I was just like, yeah, just give it to me. It's all great. And I ended up developing relationships with those people. And what was so interesting, years later, after starting Hint and we were getting into Amazon, one of the buyers for Amazon said, I remember you at Time. And I remember you were always helpful. Like you would always, like, you wouldn't complain about things. You were just like laughing and having a good time and whatever you were doing. So you never know who's watching, right? If it's somebody, I don't even remember him when he was working on the floor, but I think that's the key thing, that it's not necessarily your boss or the person sitting next door. It's people watching you and you're a hard worker. And I bet that that is what people would say about Rita today. So for sure. So what was the key thing that you learned from Orbe?
I learned a lot from Orbe. I learned how to work hard. I learned how to be humble. I learned how to manage. I learned how to work with celebrities. I learned how to be and how not to be, which is like, I tell everybody that's the most important. Watch me learn from my mistakes and learn from my accomplishments, but watch me and do it from your heart. Whatever Orbe did, he did with love. If somebody was sick, he would say, with cancer, come in, I'll make a wig for you. I'll color your hair, you know, and he'd be like, Rita, this woman has no money. Can you help me out? Of course I could help you out. He would come in with like bags and bags and bags of hair extensions and at 6 o'clock at night and say, I need all of these colored by the morning. And this is the sample. Color all of them. So I'd be up all night working on this hair. He'd come pick it up in the morning. Sometimes the shoot got canceled. So all of this would happen. And I never once thought, oh, I should be paid for this. Or, you know, they keep paying me over time or blah, blah, blah. I can't even tell you. I never even understood what a 40-hour work week was ever until, like, you know, I started my own business. But I did it gladly. And doing all of that helped me in my craft. It helped me learn how to be a better colorist. It helped me to have stamina and to be able to work long days, to travel, to just be strong and hustle, basically, and do it with love because I love what I do. So it never really felt like work.
This episode is brought to you by Novo. The last thing you want to worry about when building your company is finding a solid business checking account. When I was looking 16 years ago, sadly, there wasn't very many options. But today, I can give you a great suggestion. Novo, a really great option for personalized business checking. Novo is a business banking platform built for today's business owners. Unlike the traditional banking model, Novo has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized for your business to save you time, free up cash flow, and with seamless integrations to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more. And don't just take my word for it. Over 150,000 businesses have switched to Novo. Novo was also recently named Money Magazine's best business checking account option for app integrations. So sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/Kara. Plus, Kara Golden Show listeners get access to over $5,000 in perks and discounts. Go to novo.co/Kara. to sign up for free. Novo.co/Kara. Novo Platform Inc. is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, FA, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by Gusto. The company I founded Hint is always looking for new talent to add to our growing business. But like all executives, I want to find the perfect candidates to have the perfect fit. Did you know the average time it takes to fill a job these days is 24 days? And the average cost of hiring a new employee is close to $4,000. That is a lot of time and money and investment for sure. So here's an alternative that can save you time and money: Gusto. Gusto is a modern HR platform that helps you onboard new talent, stay organized, and make sure they have the info they need to integrate nicely in your environment. With Gusto's full-service payroll, comprehensive benefits, and built-in learning and development tools, engaging your team has never been easier, even when much of your team is still remote. And when you've got some tough decisions on your hands, Gusto has reliable data and insights that can help you make the right decisions too. Finding and keeping great employees just got easier. Join the 200,000 plus businesses using Gusto today. Head to gusto.com/Kara and get 3 months free. That's 3 months free of Gusto free only at gusto.com/Kara. Today's episode is sponsored by Such a Voice. Have you ever thought about how your voice sets the stage for how you are perceived? Okay, so you may not be looking to be a voiceover actor, but maybe, just maybe, there are a few techniques that you wouldn't mind learning. No matter what you do for a living, your voice is the thing people are making decisions about from the moment you say something. That's why paying attention to what I'm about to talk about is key. Such a Voice. That's our terrific sponsor of this segment. Such a Voice provides professional voiceover training for anyone. The great people at Such a Voice will take you through professional voice technique and even coach you through preparing, recording, and producing your own voiceover demo too. But why would you need this training? Well, that's a very good question. Whether you are thinking of interviewing on a podcast or recording your audiobook or giving that keynote at next year's company offsite, those techniques you will learn will teach you what real-world voice actors already know and help you be your very best. Visit SuchAVoice.com/Kara Golden, that's G-O-L-D-I-N, and receive a complimentary copy of Such a Voice's Must Knows of Voiceover. You will get expert tips from people who know how to have impact. Check out SuchAVoice.com/Kara Golden today to learn from the experts. So what was the turning point for you when you decided, I'm going to leave? And do you remember like feeling scared, thinking, I mean, what if I fall on my face? I mean, what? I mean, this is, it's been a comfortable job for 10 years, all of these things. Like, what was it that said, I can go do this?
You know, it was, it's actually interesting and a little bit sad because at the end of my working at Orbay, they were having internal, I don't know exactly what was going on, but I knew something weird was happening. They were having internal problems between the partners. And I don't know exactly what was the problem. I know that at the time it was like the early 90s and everybody was partying and hanging out and, you know, a lot of celebrities in and out, a lot of drugs. So, and that's what made it like a lot of fun too. But it got dark towards the end and it wasn't fun anymore. So I had a conversation with Orbe and I said, you know, it's naturally it's time for me to take a step and try this on my own. And, you know, I found a location that I knew I could afford because I was very busy. And I said, if I could pay the rent myself, then I could win here. And I found a location, a small little place, and opened the shop. And I didn't take any people with me. I said, whoever wants to come will just call me and say, I'll come. But for now, it's just going to be me. And I did have a partner for a little while. It was a hairstylist, but that didn't work out. After a few months, we were just like, you know, we had two opposite ways of doing business. I was a hustler and she was just, you know, not interested in working so hard to build the company. So, you know, it was fine. We split up and I just kept the place and she moved on. But was I ever scared? No, I wasn't scared. I was in my 20s. And I don't think that you're scared in your 20s of anything. You don't think anything's going to, you know, you're indestructible. So I wasn't scared. I knew what I had to do. I was doing it. My clients just came with me. And God is always with me because 6 months after I opened my salon, Orbe's salon closed down.
Wow. And so a lot of people came.
So a lot of people came. You know, people were calling me from the beginning, say, I really want to come when the time is right. Will you have me? And the place was small, so I couldn't just have everybody come. I wanted the best of the best. And I wanted people who had the same energy as I had, who wanted to work. We had fun, who I had long-term relationships with and I trusted. So, you know, I had a lot of my friends and they still work for me now if they're in the business. Those people that came with me from the beginning. We're still a team. Plus, we have more people on the team, but those initial people are still with me.
That's amazing. So who was the first celebrity?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Were you nervous?
No. I wasn't nervous.
You don't seem like you get nervous very often.
I don't get nervous. I was nervous in another way, right? Because I'm my worst critic and I'm very hard on myself. And I grew up listening to Mariah and I love Mariah. I wasn't really nervous about her celebrity. I just wanted to make sure that I did a good job.
Right.
So for me, it's never about the person like Beyonce or J-Lo. It's not about them. It's about me doing a good job. So I'm never really nervous about the person. I just want to make sure that I am happy with my work.
Yeah.
No, and absolutely. I'm always like brutally honest. If they want to do something that I don't think is a good idea, I won't do it. I won't do it. I don't care who it is. I said, this is not a good idea. I remember one celebrity said, I want to bleach my hair out. And I said, bad idea. And I had colored her sister's hair. I bleached it out and her sister has different texture and it's a, you know, completely different personality. So it worked for her. She said, but you did it for my sister. I said, for you, it's not a good idea. And I work with my clients for many, many years. So somebody on her team said, I know somebody who's willing to do this. Do you want to do it? She tried it. The next day, I got my phone call saying, I don't know why I didn't listen to you, but now you have to come fix it. My hair is falling out. So I said, it's not that I don't know how to do it. I just don't think it's a good idea. And I'm not going down that road where I do something for you. I know in my heart is not the right thing and you're going to be upset. So I'd rather somebody else do that, make that mistake, because I know that it's not going to work. So I do say no to a lot of things because I just don't believe in them. And I think that's what keeps my clients coming back to me long term, because I'm honest.
Yeah. And they trust your judgment too. So that's such a key thing, that you're not just going to follow trends or what they want to do. You're actually
because trends aren't great for everybody. You know, trends are, you know, you can take part of a trend and, you know, use it for you, but you can't follow a trend because it's different for everybody. Not everybody could follow that trend. It doesn't work for everybody's hair and their hair texture.
So you just do color, right? You don't do cuts. And how did you make that decision?
I never really liked cutting hair. I liked color. Mm-hmm. And when I started at Orbe, they had departments. It was a cutting and color. So I got to do exactly what I wanted to do. And I feel like it's an art and you can be great at one part of it and not like cutting.
And I asked that too, because I think that no matter what industry you're in, really understanding what you're good at and what you enjoy.
I also assisted for a very long time. I wanted to know that I could confidently do my job on my own. So a lot of kids now want to assist for like 6 months, or they don't want to assist at all, or for a year. And when am I going to get promoted? The truth is, the first 3 years, I was just learning color. I was learning the fundamentals. And then once I knew that, I was learning, I was watching and learning the tips and tricks that you don't really see when you don't know fundamentals. Does that make sense? So I trained for about 5 or 6 years. I was for 5 years, I think. And I even said to Brad, I don't want to be promoted. I'm not ready yet. I know you have a bunch of people here that are fighting to be promoted and be colorist. I'm not one. Take me out of that game. I'm here to learn. I want to learn everything that I can. Teach me, teach me, teach me. And he did. And it was like slow and steady wins the race, because a lot of those people don't even exist anymore. They didn't really learn their craft. And you make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. And color is no joke. It's a chemical. And you can screw up a lot if you don't know what you're doing. And I knew that. I took it seriously.
What's the biggest secret about color that people don't necessarily know?
That it is a chemical. And you have to respect the chemical. And hair texture and ethnicities. And
it'll react differently to different things.
Yes, it reacts differently to everybody. And you have to have experience. You have to know what you're doing. You can't just say, oh, I saw this on TikTok. You know, I learned this on YouTube. Like this girl came in the other day and she said her hair was like all broken off. And she said, well, I bleached my hair out. I did it on YouTube. I found a YouTube video. What are you thinking? Like, this is serious. You could have chemical burn on your scalp. It's dangerous. It's not like I color my hair at home. This is cool. A lot of bad things can happen. So you have to respect the chemical.
So you created, was it the first root concealer for consumers?
I didn't create, I invented it. So everybody kept saying to me, Rita, start a product line. Rita, start a product line. I said, I'm not starting. Who, the world doesn't need another shampoo or conditioner, you know? Like, what's my product going to be any different from anybody else's? And I said, until I think of one product that is not on the market that people need, I'm not spending my money on another shampoo. So I was traveling all around the world at the time, and I got the same question from every person I've ever spoken to. What can we do at home in between hair color? I color my gray every 2 weeks. My gray comes in so fast. And I just one day woke up and said, oh my God, how is this not a solution? Like, how is this not a product? So it took me about 4 years after that initial thought, like, how can I create this product that doesn't exist? Like, what form is it going to be? Is it going to be a crayon? Is it going to be a spray? Is it like, I would go to the Home Depot and look at different like products and different delivery systems and packaging. And one day I just thought, oh my God, spray. It has to be so easy, spray. And then it took me a long time to find a chemist to do it. And I found a chemist. And one of the biggest mistakes I made is that I trusted the chemist and I did not sign. He kept putting me off with the paperwork. Didn't want to sign it, didn't want to sign the paperwork. And then when we were close to it, he never actually signed the paperwork. And he decided that he wasn't going to work with me anymore. And I had to find another chemist to do, to finish the project. And I guess because they had worked with me creating, I created it. I went to them saying, this is the product that I want to do. Can you help me? And they really didn't understand what I wanted until like we finally got into it. And then they had the idea and they said, this is pretty brilliant. You know, we can take it and use it and sell it to somebody. They never signed the paperwork, which was my mistake, but I was also very green and didn't, you know, believe them. So I found another chemist and I still work with those, with that chemist today. And the difference between my product and everybody else's product is one, the colors. For me, it was so important. I'm a colorist first. So I had to create a color system that works for everybody's hair color. No matter who colors your hair, it has to be so neutral so that it can blend with everybody's hair. So yes, everybody, L'Oreal copied and they have a lot of money and they could do commercials and have Eva Longoria like be their spokesperson, but their color is not the same as my color. They could have like learned what the formula is. I guess it's pretty simple, but my root concealer, I did so much R&D on the root concealer. I would spray my mom, her sisters, my cousins, go take a spin class. If it comes off, we're not done yet. So I did a lot of research to make sure. Go swimming. If it comes off, use a white pillowcase. If it comes off, we're not ready. So we did all of that. And I could tell you with full confidence that my root concealer is not transfer proof. And it's water resistant and it's not going anywhere until you shampoo it out. So the other ones copied, but they didn't really do the R&D that I did for it. And I guess it's like, you know, flattering, but at the same time, I tried to get a patent on it, but the patent didn't, you know, they wouldn't give me a patent on it. I don't know why they kept denying my patent, because I think it is a different product and it was a new invention, but they didn't see it that way. So I wasn't able to protect myself that way.
But you have a trademark though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's good. Well, and I think like that's something that no matter what industry you're in, I think everybody learns the hard way. First few people that you're working with, especially when you've got an idea, you're very trusting. Everybody seems interested. So onward and upward, but that's an important lesson for people that are starting businesses, even
Rita. Sure, they sign your paperwork.
Yeah, no, that's really, really smart. And I'm sure that will never happen to you again.
Never, never, ever, ever. You know, I was very lucky because Sephora, I knew a lot of people from the industry, and Sephora was like, you know what, this is genius. We want to have this exclusively. So, you know, I was able to, so at first I was like, this is a product for mass. I want everybody to be able to use the Root Concealer. But then Sephora came and they were so excited and it was such a great partner. I said, okay, let's do it this way, which I'm happy we did do it that way. And they were a great partner for many years.
That's amazing. So, and today you're available with your amazing product. And Rita and I were talking about my hair is red. If you're not watching this on YouTube, it's red and it's very, very tough. The red that you have is like, it looks amazing. So it was really, really great. And mine's multiple shades of red. So
it took me a long time to do the red. And the longest was the light brown. Took me one whole year to do the formula for the light brown.
That's amazing. So we have, you know, it's interesting. You'd think light brown would be one of the easiest ones, right?
For, I guess, the average person, yes. But for me, I'm a colorist and I'm very specific in tone. I think that's really where I stand out with other people is my tone, with hair color and tone. Skin tone, hair color, like the balance of tones. That's really the difference between why I'm different than everybody else.
Yeah. Well, and you've got an eye for this stuff. And
it's natural. You either have it or you don't. I think over the years, I learned that.
You can feel your passion and your interest and your curiosity and all those things of a, you know, amazing entrepreneur and business person for sure. So what's been the biggest challenge besides the formulation that you didn't expect in launching hair products?
You know, Sephora was a great partner for a long time. And then we were doing great numbers with them and said, you know, it's time to expand as you would naturally. And we went to Ulta. And Sephora wasn't very happy about that. And the love kind of fizzled. And then I realized that, you know, I have to, you know, take my business and like look at it from my perspective and not so much as from the retailer's perspective. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is when we were in quarantine, I realized how important the Root Concealer was because people weren't able to get to the salon. So our numbers were like magnificent. I don't know if our website could have even handled the business that we were doing, thank God. And we also did like at home color kits in the salon for our salon clients. So we really were smart about it. And then I got a very interesting call from Walmart and they were very interested in carrying the Root Concealer and the glosses. And I think they realized how important it was for their customer as well. And I thought, oh, wow, this is a whole different ballgame now. Like, this is mass. Is this something that we want to do? And when we saw the numbers and how many locations they have and the volume that we could do and the people that we could get the product in their hands that probably don't even know about the Root Concealer. I mean, the only other companies, I think, are L'Oreal, which is a big one. Clairol, I think, now has a touch-up. So I just thought, you know what? My whole idea with the Root Concealer from day one was to help women, men, everywhere, not just luxury, everywhere. Everybody should have the opportunity to use good products. It's not fair that it should be only for people who could shop at Sephora. It shouldn't be like, you know, you get cheap products at mass places. That's not fair because you can make good products and sell them in mass stores. It's possible to do on a budget. It is possible. I know everybody thinks that, you know, products at the drugstore have to be cheap. They don't have to be cheap. Those companies just make them cheap. You can make good products and just sell them, you know, because you're selling in bulk. So you make your money up that way. So I said, you know what, let's do this. This is what I wanted to do from the beginning. Let's do it. Let's go for it. And we partnered with Walmart, and thank God we're doing well with them. But again, Sephora wasn't happy about it. And they said, if you're going to sell at Walmart, we can't have you here. And that was fine for me because I just thought, you know what? You guys are so funny because here you are partnering at Kohl's. And what's the difference in the customer? There's no difference. Kohl's customer is a Walmart customer. So, you know, I just found it funny that they were snobbish about it, but really they have to make their numbers as well, you know? So I just found that to be very interesting.
Well, it's interesting. It's the life cycle of a brand too, right? I think that that's the other thing is that I have a story that we went into Starbucks nationwide with our product. And it's a story I share in my book, Undaunted, about, you know, when we were removed from the case. And we were doing great, but they wanted to put food that was a higher margin business. And I could argue, you know, well, you shouldn't do this, but they weren't going to do it. And unfortunately, I was really dependent on that account. That was like my big account. It was almost 40% of our overall business. And when they were discontinuing our product, it hurt, right? I was running around. I had inventory. I was trying to figure out exactly what I was going to do. And that's when we ended up going into Amazon, which I know you're in as well. And we ended up starting our own direct-to-consumer business. And then we went into Walmart and we went into Target and a bunch of others. And so we started to spread out so that the consumer could actually access the product. And there were definitely people who said, well, if you're in this store or you're in this store, then we're not going to work with you. But I felt like people had tried it at Starbucks initially and they were looking for it. Like I still to this day would love Hint to be in Starbucks, but we had to make that decision because we had to service the consumer. And that's how we thought about it. And, you know, and I think it's the same way for from what I'm hearing from you. I mean, Sephora was a great place for trial and now it's available in a lot more places. And so it's all, as I always say, it's all good, right?
Like, and mind you, I did all of this by myself. I have no investors. It's all me.
That is absolutely incredible.
Inventory, cash flow. It's always about a very fine balance, you know? So when you don't have like investor just pumping money into it, you have to really be smart about your cash flow and inventory. So that's something that I've learned. And I'm learning now more with Walmart because they're big box. So they need a lot of product. So that's, you know, something that I'm learning now, which I kind of love. I love to do because people are like, you've been doing this so long, you don't get bored. I can't get bored because I'm always doing something different and I have to learn. So my brain is always in motion, always in motion. So for me, like, you know, the salon is changing all the time. Clientele is changing and the environment's changing. The products are growing, they're changing. So it's always something that keeps me learning and growing and changing. And, you know, you do have to change with the times. You can't just sit still and think like your old ways are going to work. It doesn't work like that anymore, especially after the pandemic. The whole world's different. Things, you know, you have supply chain demands, you know, that it takes us longer to make the root concealer. So there's a lot of things that now we have to tackle on that we never had to do before. And I think I love that. Is that weird to say? It's like fun to figure it out. You know, I don't stress. I don't get nervous because I think at the end of the day, you know, God got me this far for a reason. You know, so I have faith that everything always works out. I tell that to my team all the time. Like, it's fine. It always works out one way or the other. It's going to work out, you know, just chill, sit tight.
Yeah.
Everything's going to work out. And it always does.
It's an amazing attitude to have. And you are such an inspiration. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of this with us. So people can find it, the products at Walmart. They can come to New York and get their hair done by you and your team. And you're available on Amazon as well. And also on your own site, or are you just
selling on Amazon.com?
Amazing. And you have an incredible Instagram account as well. So everybody follow Rita there too. And thank you again for sharing all of your wisdom and lessons. And as I said, you're so inspirational. And I know a lot of people took away so much. So thank you. And thanks everybody for listening. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and soon Friday. We're adding another day. We have amazing guests on that are entrepreneurs and founders and people who are real disruptors and innovators like Rita. So thanks everyone. Definitely download the podcast so that you are not going to miss out on all these great, great people that we have on, and give Rita 5 stars for her podcast, because that really makes a difference in the algorithm. So please, please, please do that. And find me on all social platforms at Kara Golden. And don't forget to pick up a copy of my book or order it on Audible. It's called Undaunted, and it talks all about my journey. And thank you everyone for listening. Have an excellent week, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.